Y'all ready? Here we go. Heavenly Father, today we come to honor you with our wealth. You have given us the power to get wealth so that you can establish your covenant with your people. Your word says, give and it shall be given unto us a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over with no room to spare. Our hearts are delighted in you and the gift that we shall receive. We honor and thank you for your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Ushers, please come on up. Father God, we just believe that you will bless this offering and it multiplies in their name, in their hands as they're giving it to you, Lord. And we just give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Today's message, no, just Father's Day is next week, right? One of the least celebrated days. Father's Day is a pitiful day. It is. I said mothers get celebrated more. Even St. Patrick gets celebrated more than fathers. Amen. We're going to change that. You men, invite your male friends. Bring your men here, fathers. Bring them here next week. Get it packed. I got a message for them. Title of the message is, you don't get to quit. Bring it, because I'm going to bring it. Bring them. Amen. Title of the message today is, man, we used to have a saying way back in the day. It says, man, forget that. Forget you, man. You know, if somebody was talking out the side of their neck. Y'all know what I mean when people are talking. See, that just might be a black thing. I said, oh, man, they just talking out the side of their neck. Meaning they just jiving you. They just embellishing on stuff. You talking out the side of your neck. You know. But, yeah, it's man, forgive you. Sometimes, you know, we go through life. We're told to forgive others. I said, but sometimes we need to forgive ourselves. We can be hard on ourselves at times. Yeah, you didn't see that coming. Forgive yourself. That's okay. I understand what they did to you. Forgive them and forgive yourself. Because you don't realize that you're putting yourself in your own prison. Man-made prisons, self-made prisons. We're doing this all the time. The body of Christ is commanded to love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength. Come on. And basically putting loving God first in your life. I love hoops, but you know, there was a time in my life where I put hoops above God. People love golf. I like golf. I don't love it. Let's be real. I don't love it. But it'd be nice to play on a nice little course every single Sunday. But you got to put God first. You could play afterwards. Play in the afternoon. But put God first. Put God first in what you do. The second commandment that Jesus gives us is to love our neighbors as we love our. It's kind of hard to love your neighbor if you don't love yourself, if you're always hating on you. If you can't forgive yourself, it's going to be hard to love your neighbor. 2 John 1:6 says this, love means doing what God has commanded us, and he has commanded us to love one another, just as you heard from the beginning. Now, why love? Why love? Because your faith works by love. God is love. Love overcomes evil. Love overcomes hatred. Love conquers all. Love covers a multitude of sins. Love. Your faith is powered by the love of God, and it is also activated by your voice. Because love and faith is the only thing that can keep the enemy under your feet. That love. You got to get on that love walk. You got to stay on that love walk. And there are times you may take a detour for a day or two or a week or two or for some years or two. But get back on that love walk. Whatever animosity that you may have towards anyone, get back on that love walk. Why? Because it's worth it. Y'all know some. You got some people in mind right now. I guarantee you got some. I said, yep. The Lord's putting that on your heart, putting that in your mind right there. Get back on that love walk. In Luke 6, it says, so why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, when you don't do what I say? I will show you what it's like when someone comes to me, listens to my teaching, and then follows it. I will show you what it's like when someone comes to me, listens to my teaching, and follows it in those teachings that he gave us. Love your neighbor. Love God with all your heart, those commandments. Love God with all your heart. I know what they did to you was wrong. I know that person who have wronged you. I said, love God first, and then you'll be able to love your neighbor. So we are not just called to be hearers of the word, but also doers. And it's not just when we feel like doing it. That's easy to do. We do it with our spouse sometimes. Everything's good. And then as soon as they get on your nerve, though, they get on your last good nerve. You ever tell somebody that? You working on my last good nerve. We don't just walk in love with people that love us. We have to love our enemies. It says love our enemies. It never said trust your enemies. There's a difference. You ain't got to trust people like that. Love your enemies. You don't have to trust them. God doesn't require us to do the easy thing. That's a hard thing to do. Saying no to certain things and to certain people is never easy. We don't hit that easy button. God doesn't have us hit that easy button. You know, Daniel never prayed for the lions to go away. Come on. But the angel of the Lord shut it up. When you tell certain people no, here's the thing, even though you may not want to wage war, the thing is, when you tell certain people no in your life, that doesn't mean you're out of love. It just means you just said no. You said no to their tactics. You said no to their advances. You said no to their schemes. But here's the thing, be careful. I wouldn't say be careful. I said the Bible tells us take care for nothing. But here's the thing, be ready, because there might be a fight coming against you. When you tell certain people no, there's going to be a fight, and they're going to wage war against you, whether you know it or not. Stay prayed up. The easy thing to do when you are facing people who are loving themselves more than they should is to be able to go along with what they want. You know, the more that I say no to certain things and to certain people, the easier it becomes. You just can't make yourself available to everybody. Why? Because they'll wear you out. It's okay to say no. Why? You need rest. You want to take that time to listen to the Lord. You want to take that time to continue to be obedient to God. And people who constantly want to be in your life, but they want to be toxic about everything and can convince everyone around you that they're perfect for you, don't understand that it's not their choice. It's your choice who you want to be in your life. That's your choice. It's your choice, your friends and your family. With these two commands, we have another one that takes place in our everyday lives. It is a part of walking in love, but also frees us from any bondage that we may place ourselves in or the enemy keeps trying to put us in. And that's the thing is forgiveness. Love is a command. Loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Loving your neighbor as yourself. These are commands. Forgiveness is a command. Forgiveness is 100% every time. You got to forgive. Every single time, forgiveness. Forgiveness is a key component to moving forward in your life. But here's the thing, just because you're moving, never confuse movement for progress. Some people can move. I'm doing all this, but I'm not doing nothing. I'm just moving. You move forward, right? We got to move forward. A lot of people can be making moves, but are they moving forward? Can they forgive what was done and said to them? And better yet, can they forgive themselves? If there's one thing I want to leave you today is this right here. Forgiveness is a command. And we don't have the luxury of holding on to our past and then try to live out the abundant life that Jesus came to give us. You're not going to be able to live out that abundant life if you continue holding on to your past. But here's the one thing. Don't ever let anyone rush you into forgiving other people. If they're rushing you, that's a trap. If anyone is rushing you to forgive another individual, that's a trap. Why? Because they just want to do it again. The goal is to forgive quickly because it helps us to keep you out of that self-made prison. Over time, it gets difficult to get out of. Somebody once said, to refuse to forgive someone until they admit that they are sorry is to make yourself a prisoner to that very person who hurt you. So you have to let it go. You have to let it go. And some people are holding grudges for 15 years over the littlest things that they probably can't even remember. And even if they do, it's still not worth the hassle. And forgiveness. Forgiveness does not mean reconciliation. Do you have to put that certain toxic individual in your life again? No, but you need to forgive. But you have to forgive. You don't have to allow them back into your life. Sometimes God will cut people out of your life, and sometimes he will bring some people in. Just be sensitive to what he wants you to do and be obedient to it. People may not like it. That's your life, though. You want somebody constantly wearing you down every single day for no reason at all, just for their own enjoyment? No, absolutely not. Even the Apostle Paul checked that in Acts chapter 16. That little girl who followed him all around for many days, the Bible says, in the Amplified Version says, Paul was sorely annoyed, greatly annoyed and worn out. You don't have to put up with that. People want you to put up with that stuff. You forgive them, but you don't have to put up with it. It's okay to be clear about that with them. You're telling them the truth. If you know me, I may not talk much, but I don't sugarcoat stuff. I love you, but I won't sugarcoat it for you. Partly because it takes a long time. When I first got here to Hayes, man, I can't tell you. Coming from California, we talk a lot faster. We're from the city. And my wife will say sometimes I mumble. So I don't enunciate my stuff, pronounce my things very, very clear. So every time when I first got here, when I first came here, people would be hanging out. We'd be hanging out and what have you. And then people would ask, what does that mean? So like a 2-minute conversation will end up being about 10 minutes because I have to explain every single word that I said. So I'm trying to communicate, but they want to know everything. What does that mean? Why do you say it like that? Well, they want to know. They don't understand the lingo. So I have to talk a little slower for people to understand what I am saying. Remember in the Lord's Prayer, he says, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us what? Of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. You can take a deep breath now. It's okay to forgive. As a matter of fact, you will be able to live in freedom when you forgive those who trespass against you. And don't forget, if you trespass against someone else, you ask for forgiveness too. That's growth. You have to recognize you trespass. You know, Dennis the Menace always trespassed against people. He couldn't mind his own business. Hey, Mr. Wilson, what are you doing? Nothing, Dennis. He was always trespassing. People can say that they love you, that they are walking in love with you or other people, but actions sometimes will speak louder than words. Amen? Don't tell me you love me, show me you love me. Because anyone can give others lip service. Even in Matthew 15:8, Jesus said this, they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. We don't want to get to the place to where we worship God in vain. Remember why call him Lord when you don't do what he says to do. If your faith doesn't work, then you need to check your love walk. That's the first place you go, Lord, is there any person that I have hatred towards in my heart? If your faith is not working, check your love walk because faith works by, come on. If I ain't healed, check your love walk. Because God is a healer. Jesus healed us. He's delivered us. If you're not healed, check your love walk. But I was born this way. Doesn't matter. If you were born that way, then he was manifested so that he might destroy the works of the devil. Wasn't there a man that was born blind? Which one of his parents sinned? Neither. He was born this way so that the works of God might be manifested in. And while it's daytime, I got to do the works of my Father. We don't have to sit there and argue and bigger and try to find out things. I said, if it's there, get it. Why? Because Jesus wants for you to have everything that he has given you, freely given you. Every spiritual blessing, he wants you to have that. Well, you don't understand. Is it worth it? Is it worth the torment that you put yourself through every single day? We got a thing on our Kristen Habat, like a little, what is it called? Help me out, babe. By the closet in our living room. That big old board. It says one of those lines that says, you know, love others or whatever, forgive quickly. That's one of the things that we do as a family. We want to forgive quickly. We don't always do it 100%, but we forgive quickly. Hatred stirs up strife in other people's lives. I do believe some people may even call it Pastor, but Pastor Tim, you know, sometimes when people get corrected, what is that quote? I've seen it many a times when it comes to correction. Correction can seem like an attack if a person is offended. And I talked about this before when it comes to the axe. The word of God is sharper than any double-edged sword. If it's from the word of God, if it's from you and God has given you the word, correct, use the word. But when we pass it to person, hey, Richard, you know, so-and-so's been, you know, I just feel really bad about them. And, you know, they just have a problem with telling the truth. And, you know, I just believe that, you know, if somebody can just talk to them, that'd be really great. You know, here's the thing, and then Richard would probably try to go. I'm prompting Richard to go and talk to that individual. I said, that's the tradition, the doctrines of man that makes the word of God in no effect. Tradition is passed from man to man. See, but if God had really put it on my heart to say something, I need to go to that person with the word of God. Why? Because it's sharper. So if I give it to Richard, it becomes dull. It's not going to do anything. And then when you're just constantly chopping on that wood or what have you, you just end up beating up the wood, beating up the axe. It gets all bent up and out of shape because it wasn't sharp. It didn't come from here to here to here. From God to man to people, powerful. But from man to man to man, dull. Thank you for allowing me to use that illustration. So if it's correction, you correct with the word of God. But if it's tradition and it's passed from person to person, it's not going to do any good in what you intended. Sometimes you got to call it an attack is an attack. An attack is an attack. Look at this word. The word persecute, I was looking at the word persecute. Merriam-Webster's dictionary says this. To harass or punish in a manner designed to injure, grieve, or afflict. Specifically to cause to suffer because of belief. To annoy with persistent or urgent approaches such as attacks, pleas, or importunities. Pester. Persistent means continuously, long, drawn out. I looked up the word pester. To harass with petty irritations. Annoy. Looked at the word annoy. To disturb or irritate, especially by repeated acts. To harass, especially by quick, brief attacks. I looked at the word harass. To annoy persistently. To create an unpleasant, hostile situation for, especially by uninvited and unwelcome verbal or physical conduct. To worry and impede by repeated raids. Sometimes correction may feel like an attack. Sometimes an attack is an attack because I didn't see no word that said correction. Quit putting attacks under the heading of correction for a long, drawn-out period because that's not correction. That's abuse. If you're going to correct, correct with the word of God. Correct with his word. And if it give it to you, go and tell them. Be obedient to God. Not a flying monkey. Come on. So how often should you forgive? Every single time. It doesn't matter how many times they have hurt you, offended you, lied on you, plotted against you. We forgive every single time. And they may say, forgive and forget. That's hard for me to do. Forgive and forget. You heard that expression? Forgive and forget. I believe over time, God can help you to forget it. Especially if you forgive quickly. Because if you don't forget it, you're just going to be rehearsing that over and over, right? Forgive and forget. It can be done. But here's the thing. You have to cast your cares on him and allow him to renew your mind. Forgive and tell them no. You know, the Bible talks about when we put on the full armor of God, we may be able to stand against the schemes and the tactics of the evil one. When we have the full armor of God on. The enemy wants to do the same old, tired, deceptive tactics against you. Same thing. All the time. That's why we have the full armor of God on. In Matthew 18, says this, then Peter came to him and asked, Lord, how often should I forgive who sins against me? Should I forgive someone who sins against me? Seven times? Now, Peter is like, there has to be a limit to how much we should be able to allow people to do us wrong. And y'all know Peter had a temper. So, Lord, how many times should we forgive them? Because y'all know, y'all don't want to really want to know what Peter would do on our eighth time. Since he had that temper. So he's over here asking, how much do I give him? And Jesus says, no, not seven times. Jesus replied, but 70 times seven. In other words, it was limitless in a day. It was limitless. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who decided to bring his accounts up to date with servants who have borrowed money from him. And right here, Jesus is telling one of the greatest stories on forgiveness right here. And we have to understand God keeps count on whether or not we have truly forgiven from the heart. He knows everything, and he knows the heart of every person. We can say it, but he knows our heart. Verse 24, it says, in the process of his debtors who brought in, who owed him millions of dollars. Other versions may say 10,000 talents. A talent is first a balance, that a measure of weight is then a measure of weight, and then it is a sum of silver and gold that equals to that weight. The debt was too much to pay back to that king. Millions of dollars? Man, what were you doing? Looking like Michael Jordan out there. No, stop gambling. That's a bad joke. He couldn't pay. So his master ordered that he be sold along with his wife, his children, and everything he owned to pay the debt. Now, I remind you, this is the father who couldn't pay this debt back, and his whole family was now getting ready to be sold. What grudge is worth holding on to that will end up costing your family's life, their freedom? Think about that. There's not enough goodness that you can do in order to get God's grace and forgiveness. All the money in the world is not enough to purchase our forgiveness from God. Verse 26, but when the man fell down and his master fell down before his master and begged him, please be patient with me and I will pay it all. The king knew this man couldn't pay it back. But 10 seconds of true humility from the heart can go a long way. Please, be patient with me. I can pay this back. He knew he couldn't. Verse 27, it says, then his master was filled with pity for him, and he released him and forgave his debt. The king didn't have to forgive his debt, but that's the type of person he is. God doesn't have to forgive us, but that's the type of person, that's the type of God he is. That's in his nature to forgive. God doesn't have to forgive us, but he does, because that's who he is. You can't love without forgiveness. In verse 28, it says, but when the man left the king, he went to a fellow servant who owed him a few thousand dollars. He grabbed him by the throat and demanded an instant payment. I mean, he was getting ready to choke slam him. The same grace that was extended to the servant, he should have shown the same grace to the fellow servant who owed him a few months' wages. That debt was repayable in about 100 days of work. And he couldn't repay it. Says his fellow servant fell down before him and begged for a little more time. Be patient with me and I will be healed. The servant who owed the debt did exactly what the man who owed the king had done, fell down and begged for more time. Look at what hatred in the heart towards other people will do. It will cause you to be blind to the goodness of God in your life, the grace of God in your life. Blinded to the grace that was given to them. But he says, but his creditor wouldn't wait. He had the man arrested and put in prison until the debt could be paid in full. When some of the other servants saw this, they were very upset. They went to the king and told him everything that had happened. See, when other believers see the wrong that is being done to each other, it disturbs them. Then the king called in the man he had forgiven and said, you evil servant, I forgave you that tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. God forgives us even before we ask him. In verse 33, it says, you shouldn't have mercy on, you shouldn't, shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you? Now, if we claim we are the children of God and we want to be just like God, we're going to have to remember that God forgives and we have to forgive just like God. God forgave us even before we had done it. It isn't just about the power. What good is that? What good is that if we have hatred in our heart towards another? Then the angry king sent the man to prison to be tortured until he had paid his entire debt. And he says, that's what my heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive brothers and sisters from your heart. Now, what was the debt that was supposed to be paid back? Anybody know? Not the millions of dollars, because his debt was already paid. He canceled that out, right? The debt that was supposed to be paid was forgiveness. See? You get put in prison. Spiritually, when you don't pay back that debt. If God has forgiven us of our debt, we need to be able to forgive others of their debts, of their trespasses, right? It says, once God has forgiven you of your trespasses, he remembers them no more. So how can he go back and put that debt back on you? He got rid of that debt. God isn't the one who brings up your past. Satan does. And if people are concerned with your past and they keep trying to bring it up, just plainly tell them you don't live there anymore. That's like somebody trying to rob a house that you used to live at. You don't live there anymore. It ain't going to affect me. You've moved on. God is faithful to forgive, and we need to be faithful to forgive others. In their heart, it may mean they can continue to do wrong, to do you wrong, but in your eyes and God's eyes, it means you are not allowing your emotions to control you and not allowing people to walk all over you. Any ways that the enemy can get in and do what he wants to do, he will try. Don't give him an emerald. Don't give him a foot in. Don't allow unforgiveness to be the thing that does you in. There's people who can't get healed because of, they're still in unforgiveness. I read books where it says, you know, unforgiveness is the root, is part, one of the roots to cancer. Man, go and preach forgiveness in the hospitals then. People who are going through that stuff. If they done you wrong or did any other person wrong, that you may have seen yourself, forgive them and then forgive yourself. It wasn't your fault. Unforgiveness will keep you stuck and projecting all your insecurities upon other people. We play the blame game. You're not responsible for what happens to you, but you're all responsible to how you react to the disrespect or abuse that you may have suffered. You're responsible for that. And you can forgive quickly. But if you can't, just get to that place to where you start to forgive and don't allow somebody to push you and rush you into forgiving. Allow God to do the work in your life. If you are trying to be tough, let it go and let God handle those who treat his children wrong. He doesn't miss. God does not miss. Every person that has done you wrong, says something negative about you, but you know, I realize that some people can smear your name in the most nicest way and cover it up with prayer. I haven't perfected that, and I won't. Again, I don't sugarcoat stuff. See, when our ways please the Lord, he will even make our enemies at peace with us. So we live by pleasing him by living in faith, right? Leave it for God to settle. You don't have to take matters in your own hands. Vengeance and recompense are his. Recompense means to render or repay. Tribulation means affliction, anguish, or persecution. In 2 Thessalonians 1:6, it says this. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. It is a righteous thing for God to do this. The Passion Translation says, it is right and just for God to trouble your troublers. God's on your side. The Amplified Version says, for after all, it is only just for God to repay with distress those who distress you. Still don't think God got your back? Let me give you another version. New Living Translation says this, in his justice, he will pay back those who persecute you. That chooses to cause anger, grief, and affliction. Dang, come on. Here's my version, the brother's version. Y'all ready for this? Being the faithful God that he is, everyone who chooses to cause harm to you, God will see to it that they don't ever bother you again. Sleepless nights are ahead for those that bring you trouble. Remember, Pharaoh couldn't sleep when Abraham gave Sarah to him. Remember, the king couldn't sleep when he put Daniel in the lion's den. Come on, when people bring trouble to you, they can't sleep at night. God will repay. That's so much better. That is so much better. He isn't going to drop a bomb on you, even though you may want that to happen. But God will repay those who cause harm. Those who trouble you, he will trouble those people as well. They're not going to be able to sleep at night. Now you can rest. How do we do all these things? We do it by faith. We do it by faith. By faith, it is not in our own strength. We do it by faith. We need God to do all of that. So we have to get back to the place to where we fix our mouths to talk about God. Mouth, you're going to talk. You're going to talk about faith. Mouth, you're going to speak faith. Ears, you're going to hear faith. Eyes, we're going to see by faith. Body, we are going to walk by faith. Heart, we are going to believe by faith. Spirit, we are going to live by faith. When I sow my money, you're going to grow by faith. Because we live by faith and not by, come on. So what's troubling you today? Hopefully nothing after this. If you're holding a grudge on what I'm saying, let it go. Why? You just putting yourself in prison. Forgive quickly. I remember I was sitting right on this first row. And I thought I was going to be able to play drums. Y'all heard me tell this story before. Andrew had written the song, and I thought I was going to play. And I was all excited, and I didn't get to play. He let his brother play it. And so inwardly, I was just, nobody knew it, but I was upset. Man, here I am, pouting on the first row. Come on. And this man wrote a song to glorify God. How selfish can I be? And I heard the Spirit of God say, stand up and clap. And literally, I'm sitting there like this, and I go, he says, stand up and clap. I go, I just shake my head no. I said, no, stand up and clap. And as soon as I stood up and clapped, that thing just, phew, that heaviness went off. Praise for heaviness. We get in here and we worship. You're feeling heavy and down and out. That's when you should be running all around. That's all right. It's okay to run in here. When I first got here, they were running and shouting, Prawny running all down the aisles. What is going on in here? Now, I was used to it. Pentecostal church, we do that all the time. Just, if you're going to run, just make sure you run to the left. That way. Don't. You don't want to meet in the middle. If you do meet in the middle, you can go out and go around. But I'm not against that. Why? Praise. Ain't nobody else know what you're going on, what you're going through. And when you start and begin to praise, because that's a connection that you're making with the Father, can't nobody say anything to you. Because that's what he's giving you to do. You praise. You praise God because you have breakthrough. You praise God because of his goodness and his mercy. You can clap. You can stomp your feet. I'm still partial about the whistling. John can whistle, couldn't he? I heard he got kicked out of a church for whistling. He goes, Robert Morris's church. Hallelujah. But praise for heaviness. What are you going through? What's sitting in this pit of your stomach right now that you just can't let go, that you just need to hold on to? Let it go. Give God the hallelujah. Stand up and praise. That's not going to throw me off, because you're doing it by the Spirit of God. Jesus says, come unto me, all who are weary. His yoke is easy and his burden is heavy. Light. You're going to be feeling like you're floating on air, living with him. No matter what the enemy just tries to compound on you and pack down on you, you stick with Jesus. You stick with his word. And he will continue to make that burden light. Every born again believer is anointed. And that anointing does what? It destroys the yoke. Removes the burden. And you have that. That kingdom of God that's living on the inside of you is there. So why should any believer should be, no believer should be struggling, honestly. None. Because we should be living, every single morning we start from a place of victory. That's where we give thanks to. I don't know about you, but my days are a whole lot better when I give thanks to God first. And there's some days I don't, honestly. I'm going to be real with you. And I can tell. Because my focus is on him. Good. Got some of my best days. Other days, I can still say it's a good day, but it's not as good as the other one. You put him first. It doesn't matter what comes your way. It doesn't matter. You're ready. You're ready for what comes. Give us this day our daily bread. You're ready. The most simplest prayer is one of the most powerful ones. Father, I'm yours. Whatever you want from me, whatever you have for me, I'm yours. I'm yielded to you. Do whatever it is you want me to do. I will do whatever it is you want me to do. I will say whatever it is you want me to say. Lord, I'm yours. Well, what scripture is that from? Well, Jesus didn't sit there and say when the devil was tempting him, you know, out of the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, verse. He didn't say all that. He just spoke the word. It is written. Theologians want all the verses. They put all that stuff in. It was just in a word. And if it's in the word, I'm going to obey it. What denomination are you? I'm okay with people asking me because they want in the church. I said, we just preach the Bible. I just got to the point of non-denomination. Well, we just believe the word. The Bible says it, that settles it. That's it. We're just going to preach the word of God. And if you're not for that, so be it. Are you accepting to everybody? Yes, we are. I'm just not accepting to everything. So if you think you're a bird, come on in. You can come in flapping your wings and stuff like that. I said, people here will still love on you. They'll still love on you. But you don't have to believe everything that is spoken to you. Because if it doesn't line up with the word, it shouldn't matter. Y'all was like, he is long-winded today. I get that from Kristen all the time. Well, not all the time, because I don't always go to 11:45. But I like this. Father God, we just thank you today, Lord. If there's anyone harboring any unforgiveness in their heart and they haven't forgiven during the time of this message was presented to them, Lord, I would ask you, just get rid of it. It's not worth it. God wants to heal you. He wants to deliver you. He wants to restore you right back to him. And Lord, if I've offended anyone, Lord, I ask that you forgive me. And I ask that they forgive me too. But I believe I said what you wanted me to say. That I make no apologies for. We call out every sickness, every disease that people are afflicted with. We call them cursed in the name of Jesus. Those who are there with cancer and you're watching, I speak to that cancer in the name of Jesus and we command it to be gone right now in the name of Jesus. Receive it by faith and walk it out. Walk it out. People who are dealing with neck problems, people who are being attacked spiritually, we come against that attack right now in the name of Jesus, stopping you from reading your word, stopping people from spending time in prayer, time with you, Lord, we come against that spirit right now in the name of Jesus. We call this city saved to you, Lord, that there will be more coming to the churches in this city than there are staying at home. In the name of Jesus, and we speak these things by faith in Jesus' name. Every church filled and overflowing in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Y'all stand to your feet. Kristen, you want to close us out? You still love me? You still my friend? You're my best friend, right? Y'all know that joke? We Leave It to Beaver. That movie, Wally says to... No. Eddie says to Wally, "You're my best friend, right?" And then Wally says, "That's what you keep telling me." Hallelujah. You are blessed. You are blessed with every spiritual blessing. Everything you set your hand to is blessed. Every seed that you sow, that you will receive a 100-fold return. Every friend that you make will be a powerful friend that will help you get to that next level, to where God wants you to get. No sickness, no germ, no disease will come, no plague will come near you in the name of Jesus. We speak it by faith, and we walk it out. No more living in fear. You don't have to live in fear anymore. Fear torments. Just let it go. Somebody offends you, let it go. Say, "Lord, you seen that?" Because God will trouble your troublers himself. Pray for them. Pray for those who persecute you and bless those who curse you. Come on. Lord, we thank you. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you. Also, what date is that? June 19th? June 19th. You are all invited to a movie. We're going to be watching Ordinary Angels. Good movie. Good movie. Vicky gave it 2 thumbs up. And we'll be watching it in the children's church. We're going to have a popcorn bar, all that stuff. And we're not going to charge you but $20 per bag. You know, we just got to keep up with the theaters. No, it'll be free, but But God bless you. Bring your friends and family, all right? Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.